Shalom, everyone. The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's previous lectures, satsangs, we already have been running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Group Section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's Conversation Room. The best news is that now we have the Mission Radio going on in the internet, and so we are reaching another avenue for the Mission to spread the message of Seven Seal and the opening of the book that has been sealed from humanity for the last 12,000 years. And we have so many videos and audios that has been explaining this revelation for last 20 some years. So anybody has any avenue or any way to spread this message to humanity, they should take advantage of it and reach as many people as possible, so at least they can hear it once in this lifetime, and maybe next lifetime they will come back, and when they hear it again, this time they will understand. Of course, our revelation and teaching is way ahead of humanity, and humanity is still in the state of separating themselves with all kinds of psychological and emotional and religious differences. Ours is unification and unity and oneness and one earth, and all the signs that God has been giving to humanity that separating one from the other is not going to be acceptable any longer. But it is time to realize and recognize that we are one planet, one humanity, one nation, one God, and one scriptures, which reveals all the scriptures on earth. And therefore, they are in the progress of expanding their consciousness, but still we are separated with many, many small-minded and small visions that have separated one from the other. So now is time of expansion. Of course, there is nothing worse than having a part of the information and not having the whole information and the truth. When you have only a part of the information, in this case 1/7 of the information that God has sent to humanity, you have no choice but to err and make mistakes, because you don't have the whole truth, you don't have the whole vision, and therefore you are basing your information on 1/7 of the truth, and therefore you cannot reach the correct conclusion. In 2005, is asking, I was wondering to know if Kabbalah is bad or good in Maitreya's mind. Kabbalah is the mystical part of Judaism or Hebrews teachings and Old Testament. Kabbalah actually have come from the same source and from the same teachings as what Noah brought to humanity. Well, of course, the purest form of that teaching is the Vedas, that is followed with Hindus, the whole religions of Judeo-Christians, Islamic, Baha'i, and Zoroastrian have come from the same source as Zoroastrian religion, and all of them has been influenced from that religion. And of course, Zoroaster was from the same root as Hindus are, and therefore he was probably familiar with the Vedas and the teachings of the Hinduism, and eventually, of course, he brought a new way of looking at the religions as only there is one God. As we know, there are many gods in Hindu religion, which in a higher level, of course, still says the same thing as there is one God, but in a lower level, of course, they believe in many gods, and separation is even among them. The whole Hindus each have their own God and their own rituals, and still there is separation between them. Therefore, Kabbalah is a mystical understanding. Of course, it has to be understood, meditated on, and brought in a greater degree of understanding and relating it to the teaching of the mystical path, which basically says, know thyself to know God. That self and God, your essence and God's essence are one. All the mystical paths have to be purified also. They also have been influenced with the different ideas and dogmas and misunderstanding. Therefore, in Hinduism, for example, the highest realization is the Atman, and Atman or God are one. And therefore, if you know thyself, you recognize that your essence and the essence of God are the same. Of course, that doesn't mean you are already God, but that means that you have the potential of manifesting God's quality. God's quality is compassion, understanding, realizing how the universe has been created and all the things related to God and His consciousness. Therefore, Kabbalah has validity, is a part of our teachings. It falls into the first sign as all the mystical paths fall in that sign. Of course, the mystical path is not the end by itself. That is what the mystical path have to understand, that Hinduism is not perfect by itself, the Sufis are not perfect, or any other mystical path is not perfect by itself, but they have to recognize and realize God sent the second seal, which is the creation of a communist of light. If you meditate and you go to the mountain and you neglect and disregard the communities, of course, you're disregarding a part of God's plan. Of course, to create comes of light, you have to sacrifice, which is Christianity and no New Testament, and you have to surrender and submit the result of your action to God, or become submissive to the will of God, which is Islam, and shatter all norms of the mind, which is Baha'i teaching and Bab's revelation. Therefore, you become an elect, sixth seal, and that is what God has been saying about elects, my people, the people who will overcome and eventually will become His sons. And that's the promise has been given to all humanity, that whoever overcometh will become my son. Therefore, the hope is that we understand God's revelation and realize that He has been sending all this revelation to humanity, and therefore they are all from the same source. If they are all from the same source, of course, each of them now have something to overcome, Kabbalah and mystical path, to have to recognize that they are not end by themselves, but they have to also listen to Old Testament, New Testament, Quran, Bayan, and the teaching of Baha'u'llah and Bab, and also recognize that who is a Parabipra, who is an elect, what is the quality of people who are God's chosen. With this understanding, little by little, of course, we can become His sons as it has been promised. When 2000 is asking, what is your feeling about scanning the Aramaic text? Because many believe the letter in Aramaic that the Zohar was originally written in meets energy. Do you believe that the letter have energy, and that scanning the letters gives off energy to the reader. Every religion will tell you that their language, their scriptures has special powers and energy. Of course, all the truth which have come through the words, they have energy and power, and that is what are power words. They are a fire of God that burns the impurity. That is why giving satsang or discourses on God, talking about God together, brings the energy in a higher level. That is why Christ said, stop idle talk, because idle talk are the words that have lower energy in them, and they affect the lower level of consciousness or chakras, and therefore it brings you down. That's why those people who idle talk after a while hate one another, and they create animosity against one another, because intuitively they know that each of them is bringing the other person down, and instead of helping that other person go to the higher level. Therefore, speech and words have power in them, and each carries different energy. That's why satsang and discourses and listening to the Word of God and the scriptures make you high and connected. Talking about the mundane thing all the time and never talk about the higher things bring you down. Of course, many other things affect you, your food, your environment, the things you read, the things you watch, the whole lifestyle should be based in a higher energy, and therefore you will be connected to the higher things instead of lower energy, which is the lower thing. So it is not a phenomena only for Zohar or Aramaic language. In any language, there are words that are related to the higher energy and those who are related to lower energy. Therefore, it's not the monopoly of any religion or language to have a greater effect. Of course, there is a specific wording or mantras that affects different level of consciousness, and closest to that language is Sanskrit, which has a greater effect and is the original language that the mystical path was revealed to humanity 12,000 years ago. I'm pretty sure that Aramaic probably have been influenced with Sanskrit, because most of the languages have been influenced with Indo-European, Persian languages, which are from the same root. Therefore, if you go deeper to Aramaic languages, you will see that it's been influenced with Sanskrit. That's why it has the higher energy of affecting the body. Now, of course, even in Sanskrit, there are words that are in a lower level, and they are not very high, and if you make it to the mundanity, it's going to affect you and bring you down. So the whole idea, as Christ said, the whole spirit should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Anything else is from evil. Why did he say that? It means that any speech that about mundanity and lower level will bring us to the lower energy and affect us, and the words that are from higher level and godly and is talking about the higher things and bringing the higher level to humanity brings energy high. And that is why we have to create an environment that not only the words, but shows, the television, radio, videos, anything we watch, anything in our life, directs us toward our goal. And the goal is, of course, to become divine. How you become divine is by following the eternal divine path. Therefore, the whole idea is to direct humanity to create an environment that it stimulates their higher level and bring them higher energy to the whole earth. The more we watch and look at the lower level, of course, we all will become lower and we become mundane. The lower the energy, the greater the separation. Because the lower energy, the greater the ego. The greater the ego, the more attachments and desires, and therefore greater misunderstandings. So, you're correct. The words have powers, but it is not only related to one language. It's related to all the languages. In this time, of course, English is the most popular or most talked about language, and therefore we all have to learn it and become one with it and bring to a higher level. The idea again is that we learn to talk about God, about creation, the goal of the life, commandments of light, bringing an environment that everybody have their physiological and aesthetic need taken care of, and on and on. Tahira is asking, thank you, Maitreji, that just answered my question. Ready to go next? What is the value of thought? And part two, how does it affect our soul? Thought makes our life. It depends on how you think. That's how you act on them. Thought process is the beginning of the steps we take in our life. Of course, not every thought we have, we take a step toward fulfilling it. But if we have a pattern of thinking that affects our life, therefore we follow the way we think, and we will bring manifestation from our thought process. That's why the thought process is very important to humanity, and they should envelop themselves with an environment that brings greater degree of higher thought. The lower the thought, the lower our action. The higher the thought, we will not engage in separation and destruction and ungodliness, and therefore we bring a greater purified environment for everyone and ourselves. Anything that affects our thought process should be taken into consideration. As I said, the food we eat, the movie we watch, the environment we live, the places we go, all affect us. Of course, the idea is eventually reach a point that nothing can affect us as deeply as usually it will if we are not in a higher level. Therefore, thought processes have a great effect in our life. That's why the company we keep. If you come to the mission rooms and listen to the words that is read in them, of course, your thought process whole day is going to be higher. If you come to the morning session that we have here, we all read about the God and thou and this revelation, the whole day you might be enveloped in that process. But if in the morning and stuff though, you listen to the news, you will be depressed whole day for all the terrible things happening in the world. So you have to choose your connections, therefore you can become high more and more. Of course, if you carry a commandment of light, you won't have any problem because in comes of light, also your physiological and safety need has been taken care of, and therefore the only thing left for you is to create greater thought. How does it affect our soul? Our thoughts, our action affect our soul. That's karma. That's the law of karma. Our actions affect our soul and where we will be incarnated the next lifetime and where we will be in our future incarnations and how well we learn our lessons. The more we stay in an environment that it helps us to grow, the sooner we reach a point that we can become divine, become godly. I hope that answers your question, Tahira. If you didn't, you can follow up. Win 2005 is asking, Maitreya, what are you feeling about the Urantia book? Because I'm contemplating reading it, but before I do, I'd like your feelings about the book. Does that book come from God? If you show me any place in the words of God and the prophecies and revelation that God said there is going to be a book called Urantia, and it is a part of his revelations, and the person who brought that book has fulfilled the prophecies of his coming and revealed that book as the word of God, then we might consider him as a part of scriptures. If it is not prophesied to come, if God did not say in his scriptures that such a thing he will be sent, it is not from God but man-made. Therefore, it makes the revelations of God very exclusive and makes it very few that you really have to listen. Any other teachings you have to compare with the words of God and take those which are the word of God and the parts are not, throw them away. I have looked at the book of Urantia. As usual, it has some truth, but also it has a lot of things which are not important. It has a lot of hierarchy and hierarchy over hierarchy, like a brotherhood, which they become your God and they become in your way to go to God. In this teaching, in this revelation, in this mission, we connect you to God directly, which is within you, which is your essence. Anything that says or teaches you there is something between you and God, that teaching is false, is incorrect, and it will connect you to something that will be in your way to go to God. In this teaching and revelation, it teaches you, you have the ability and power and tools to go to God directly, of course, based on the words of God, which is revealed through His prophets and great manifestation and messiahs, and those who have been prophesied to come. They came with fulfillment of the prophecy and brought the word of God to you. And as you listen to the word of God, more and more you recognize that that is the best way to go. So if who wrote the book of Yahushua is not fulfilling the prophecy, and what it says is not based on the word of the prophets, it is not from God. Go ahead, Amina. Mic didn't go up, and no sound came in, so if you want to type your question, go ahead and type it, and you're welcome, Vin, I hope that answer makes sense to you. One thing about this mission, it just makes sense, and it takes you to God directly. Of course, it asks you to forego your ego, and of course, that is the reason from the very beginning why this universe went out of balance. The ego is powerful, and the human ego rationalizes their way of thinking and way of acting as, okay, it's better even than God's sometimes. And when God tells them, no, it's not okay, they do not want to accept it. Mena is asking a question about chanting versus meditation. There are two different effects on human mind, and chanting is the use of the words in a higher level. Not only it affects you, but it also affects those who are around you and bring their energy to a higher level. The idea is when a group of people chant together, they bring their energy collectively to a higher level, and therefore they become united in a greater degree. And also chanting, of course, affects the person itself and bring the energy in a greater degree. Therefore, chanting and meditation are two tools that go hand in hand. That's why it's so good to chant and bring the energy higher level and then meditate. And therefore, when you sit meditation, your energy already is been loosened up, your aura is open, and you are ready to meditate in a greater degree. That's why we chant in the beginning, and then we do the reminder. Again, affect collective unity and bring the energy in a higher level, and then we go to meditation. Like by the time you have done your chanting and reminder, you're ready to sit down and a good meditation. Also, most of the time, the dancing goes with the chanting. Dancing itself is a movement and rhythmic energy which bring a greater coordination in the body. And also by hitting your feet down, you're actually massaging the very base of your feet. And everybody by now know that all our nervous system ends in the sole of our feet, and therefore when we dance, we also massaging all our psychic centers, and therefore we become in a more blissful state of being. And especially when a lot of people are singing together, the energy is going to be very high. The reminder is a yoga posture, and not only it is a higher level of energy in the world, but also it is a greater effect in the chakras and psychic energies, and therefore, again, it helps you up. All those techniques are being given to help the person to have a better meditation, a greater degree of recognizing that you and God are one. All those techniques are necessary. None of them are better or worse. Some appeal to some people in a greater degree. Chanting and dancing doesn't appeal too much to intellectuals, and it's very alien in the Western world. But satsang and meditation and discourses and writing words appeal to them in a greater degree. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't dance or chant and meditate, but they at least should do it for a while and to see if they like it or affect them. But there are going to be people in other cultures that they just might want just to dance and chant, you know, which is okay. And they don't care about too much about the words. So this revelation is for the whole humanity, and it's the consideration for everyone. Eventually reach a point, benefit from all these techniques. Amina is asking, with household chores, I find that chanting makes it easier. Seems that meditation takes away from laundry, etc., or take care of my husband. That is another good thing about this mission. There are so many techniques has been given to you that you can adopt each technique for what really works for you. Of course, meditation is a way of listening to God, because you are meditating, you are closing your eyes, you are calming all your senses. You are not worried about what should be done, what should not be done. And therefore, you have the ability to really get to know God. Prayer is when you talk to God, and therefore, meditation and prayer goes hand in hand. And the rest of the techniques are given to facilitate these two main reasons. But if chanting helps you, great. Just do chanting. Start whatever works for you. And of course, little by little, if you can get your husband also meditate with you, then you can sit together and meditate in a specific time, 10, 15 minutes a day or something. And even that's going to bring greater degree of closeness to the couples. When they pray together, when they meditate together, they stay together. And therefore, they bring a greater degree of unity between you. And that's what we need. We need a lot of godly couples that they come and join the Communities of Light and create community that is based on them. And they can bring the Kingdom of God on earth. The Kingdom of God is based on the Communities of Light, and the Communities of Light is based on the pure married couple who follow the Eternal Divine Path. So hopefully we can get more couples come together as a unit into the mission. And of course, it's never been recommended that you forego your chores or your work not to do them, especially if that's a part of one's responsibility. I hope that answers the question, Amina. Again, anybody who did not receive the answers completely, they can follow up with the question. Lou is asking, in Quran, there is a passage that refers to Christ as not being crucified. However, when Christ appeared to Thomas, he asked him to touch the mark in his hand and sides. Please explain. Actually, Prophet Muhammad didn't say he wasn't crucified in a sense that a lot of Muslims nowadays referred to it as he opposed crucifixion. He just say it seems to them that he died. And that is correct. Nobody dies. Anybody who seems to be dead, their soul still lives on, and nobody can kill the soul. That is one of the things humanity really have to concentrate to understand, that the soul has not been created. The soul is a part of God. It's been living here. It is here. It will live forever. Of course, the concept of forever and eternity and no beginning is so hard for the intellect to grasp. The only way you can grasp that truth is with experience. That's why we emphasize more and more, meditate, chant, dance, and eventually reach a point that you can experience God. Before you experience God, these words are just pretty words. Eternity, forever, all those things are just pretty words.
But when you experience it, you say, yeah, it makes sense. Then you come back, and then you cannot explain it to other people what it means. So it's not something you can explain. But one of the things that very large problem humanity have with is that they think soul is being created. Soul is not being created. If we understand that, then we understand that we are all the one with God, so we have the potential of manifesting His quality. God used His own body to create the rest of creation. That's why He created gases, and then eventually He created supernova, He created a heavier material thing, and eventually created the whole universe. And therefore, that is the creation. Soul is not a creation. So when Prophet Muhammad says he was not crucified, he was not dead, he is referring that he is not dead. No, nothing is dead or can be crucified or killed. But in the final analysis, really doesn't matter. Was he crucified? Wasn't crucified? Was he crucified upside down? Was he crucified in the sideway? Was nail was put in hand? Was his feet? Was it? Was he given vinegar or water? Or all of them are not important. The most important is what did he say? What was his message? What was his words? Just like people asking Prophet Muhammad, why you eat, drink, speak, what talk? He said, well, there has never been a prophet that God sent that he didn't do all these things. So we have to understand how God works and what is most important. The most important about a prophet is his message, his words. Of course, in the case of Christ, his crucifixion also was a symbolic killing of the lamb and putting the blood on your door so God passes over you. So when Christ came and sacrificed himself, was crucified, that was taken away and the grace was released to humanity. Of course, the suffering of Christ wasn't only with Esau. The suffering of Christ was from the very beginning of the creation when God decided to project his spirit to the darkness, and he sacrificed his state of being in absolute bliss by coming to this world, and therefore he suffered for it by coming into this world and accepting a body and went through the suffering in the universe. And therefore we can see the Christ or his suffering is the symbolic suffering of God himself to coming down from the pure consciousness or higher level to a gross world and manifesting himself so he can help humanity to turn around and go to God. In that sense, his crucifixion is important. We have to recognize that he suffered. Was he crucified again or not is not important. Most important, the symbolic meaning of the innocent Lamb of God being crucified, and he pays for the humanity by coming to the body and bringing the message of God to man, and therefore they can see their way, okay, and go back to God. Therefore, every prophet is the spirit of God which come to the gross world to manifest God's words. And every prophet is Christ. Every prophet suffers by doing that. And therefore, it is the ultimate sacrifice of God to come and bring that truth to humanity. Therefore, if you understand that, again, doesn't matter. Was he crucified in the tree? Was it crucified on a cross? It is all those things become unimportant. But the meaning of coming of the Christ, his teaching, his words, why he came, he had a threefold mission. One was to bring the message of sacrifice. Without sacrifice, the eternal divine path would not be perfect or completed. The second mission was to gather the lost children of Israel who left the northern kingdom and came toward Europe and eventually ended up in the United States. And the third one was to release the grace that was taken away at the time of the Adam and Eve back to humanity. And that is why those who followed Christ, the children of Israel, were blessed with his grace and blessing because they had it so far. Now that grace with this revelation is revealed to the whole humanity, and therefore again we are in an equal footing, And we can see that is manifesting itself on earth, and humanity become more and more equal with each other. That's, of course, is the beginning of unification again. And God says, okay, now all humanity come, get together, realize what have I done, what have I been doing, how I sent the Christ, why I sent all this revelation, what is they meant, how the, I promised both Abraham and Abraham a prophet and a territory, how I sent the revelation of the mystical path to the Far East, and what is the role of the Judaism, Hinduism, and all that. Therefore, we can see what God has been doing all along to this point, and therefore this revelation is the most perfect revelation, and it has all seven parts of the revelation sent by God. And therefore, if you don't know this revelation, if you don't know this message, you don't know your religion, and therefore you have no choice but to make mistake, because you have only one seventh of the truth. And therefore, you have to see this vision clearly. You see the prophecies. You see all the signs that God has been given to you and humanity. And therefore, dedicate yourself and your life to it. That's the only way out. And there is no other way. And this revelation is the way for humanity to go to God. And no one goes to the Father but through this revelation and truth. And therefore, it is a call for humanity to come together and see these truths that have come to them. The details are not important. The details are something they have to overcome and say, what is the essence of this prophet's teaching? What God meant by sending this prophet? What was the message? What was the reason for it? Therefore, let's stop arguing with each other. Let's start separating one another, but bring our energy and thought in a higher level so we can become unified. And that's really something humanity needs badly, to bring their energy in a higher level instead of arguing and staying in lower nature and therefore creating destruction, wars, disunity, and problem that we have on earth. But as I said, they're not ready. Any time that a revelation comes, few people are ready for it, and therefore they pick it up. They are the ones that they have great responsibility to reach out with it in every way possible, so the other people at least can hear it once. After they heard it once, we are done with them. We have given the message of unity, of seven seals, and of course some of them become very unhappy, wrath. They even try to fight us and say, no, we are wrong, it's not from God. Then clearly, God is shown it is from God. With all the truth that have been revealed through this, unification that God said will come, the prophecies, genealogy, what else do you need to prove this is from God? And then the word of God says the last revealer of the last revelation opens the seventh seal. It has to be the Lion of Tribe of Judah. It has to be from King David, not from Ishmael. And Muslims say Prophet Muhammad is the last prophet. How could it be? You know, God clearly in Revelation says in chapter 5, it has to be from King David, not Ishmael. So they have to see these things clearly and overcome their dogmas and cultural understanding, and come to the greatest and highest level of realizing what God has been doing. And now, of course, God is telling humanity, that's what I was doing. This is the whole picture. This is the whole truth. If you don't know this, you are wrong. It no matter what religion you follow, what prophets you have, or whatever dogma you might espouse, still it is not the highest, because it is only one-seventh of the truth. Even the mystical path, even Kabbalah doesn't have it. Even Hindus and Buddhists don't have it. Of course, Buddha also talked about Dharma and Sangha. Means Dharma means inner nature of his person, and Sangha means community. So each person follows their inner nature, and they stay in a community, they can create communities of life. If they want greater truth, even from Buddha, of course, it's the eternal divine path, they are a part of it. Because not only it teaches Dharma and Sangha, it also teaches the sacrifice. It teaches in New Testament. It teaches surrendering is submissive to God, the Quran. It teaches Bayan or Universalism, Baha'i. And it teaches who is an elect. Other religion talking about we are the elected one, we are the chosen one. But what does that mean? Do you just believe in a couple of dogmas make you a chosen one? Or there is a path, there is a quality, there is something you become and you manifest, then God says, yes, you are an elect. You meditate, you chant, you dance, you anything that makes you awaken your spiritual forces and eventually experience God. This is not a religion that you just believe in a couple of dogmas and you say, oh yeah, that's it, I'm an elect. No. You have to try to experience God. When you experience God, then you don't have any religion anymore. You know the truth. Then, of course, Kariyat Kamilis of Light. You don't even have to wait to experience God to Kariyat Kamilis of Light. Start creating Kamilis of Light. In the process, you will reach pure consciousness. But sitting there, say, I want to reach pure consciousness. I want to reach pure consciousness. First, it's just like putting a seed in the ground and going every day and picking it up and look and say, are you growing up? Are you growing up? It's never going to grow up. But if you go ahead and get engaged and involved with Eternal Divine Path, eventually one day you will experience God. Amina is asking, Maitreya, in a previous satsang, you urged do not mix mantras. Can you please explain more about this? Well, mantras actually is kind of an energy of the teacher who puts in the words and reveals it to humanity. And each mantras have different kind of energy with them. The highest energy of the mantras are the words that are revealed to you in seven initiation in the mission. After that is the hush mantra, which not only has a great energy to it, it also explains what is the goal of life. The goal of the life is to become divine. Even if humanity just understand that mantra, just nothing about the mission and the eternal divine, but anything. The reason they have been created, this body has been given to them, is to become divine. Of course, after somebody says, you have to become divine, the next question is, what do you mean by divine? Then, of course, you can explain to them that you become divine by following the eternal divine path. Therefore, right there, in the first verse, it gives you the essence, why you are here, what is the reason you have been created. And then the second verse says, Om Nam Kevalam, that divinity or God is everything. Therefore, you are a part of everything. You are the part of God. And for that, again, shatters the narrowness of the mind and separation. If I am a part of God and you are a part of God, can we be enemy? How can God be enemy of himself? You know, if we are from the same source, can I kill you? No. Because I'm destroying another God, part of myself. So we are all a part of a greater unity that already exists for humanity. Therefore, the whole meaning of this mantra is greater than any mantra you can have, and also the energy of it and the effect of it is twice as powerful as Om Mani Padme Hum, a mantra which somebody wrote a book about it, how powerful that is. Therefore, you can write two books about this one, because it's twice as powerful as that one. So it is very powerful mantra. And other mantra, of course, will bring you down, because they are not as high a level as this mantra and this revelation. This is the highest. In every way you look at it, this is the highest given by God to humanity, and therefore anything before it cannot be compared or mixed with this. They can be realized where they fall in this revelation. For instance, Christianity, where does Christianity fall in the seven seals? Or Hinduism, or Buddhism, or Islam? Is Islam bad? No, it's not. Is Christianity bad? No, they're not. The dogma is bad, and they are only one-seventh of the truth. If we recognize that, we recognize also mantras, they're not bad, they're okay. There are other mantras, but they are not the highest. They're a part
of this mantra, and therefore mixing them, you are just like saying, okay, I'm just going to follow all the dogmas of the Muslims, at the same time follow the eternal divine path. Therefore, it's not going to work together very well, because you are going to try to fit this, which is 7 times larger, to a container which is 1/7 of the size of this, and it's not going to fit. Therefore, the recommendation is that just use the Hari Om Shri Hang mantra, and if there is a mantra you have, just forget about them, or see if they are a part of these, and therefore you're not going to be affected with something which is lower in energy. That was why we recommend don't mix the mantras together, go for the highest. We don't recommend following the dogma of religion. Get rid of the dogmas. What was the essence of that religion? What did that prophet came for? What was his message? Why he came to humanity to go through whatever they went through to bring this message to humanity, and what they meant? Therefore, we can overcome any dogmas, any bounding doctrine, any mantra which will bring our energy in a lower level, but we go for the highest. And of course, again, if everybody follows and uses our teaching and our mantra, that also brings greater unity between us and doesn't bring separation. If you use our mantra and somebody use Hare Krishna mantra, after a while you're going to be the group that uses Hari Om Shri Hang. They're going to be a group, they use Hare Krishna, and therefore the separation. Ego might come in and they say, yeah, Hare Krishna mantra is better than Hari Om Shri Hang, and therefore separation again. Whatever separate and bring ego is not good. We have to overcome and forego of them. The more humanity focuses on the last revealer and the revelation and come together, the unity and possibility they become united will be in a greater degree. That is why I said many times, I am the heart of the hierarchy. The more people focus on the revealer of the seventh seal and follow his saying, they will become greater degree as one. So there are many reasons for that recommendation. Brusepk is asking, Saloon. This is Brad. Hi, Brad. Welcome. On my sister computer. Great. Okay. No microphone. All right. My sister has a question concerning the body and death. After the breath of the life is withdrawn, should we not disturb, cremate the body for 3 days, as is the practice with some religions before? Yeah, well, that practice probably has a psychological and emotional meaning into it. The body is dead, and if you put it underground, still people might be very attached to that body, and they will not be able to forgo the detachment, and their grief might continue, and the closure is not going to come to them, as if the body is lying there for 3 days and they realize and recognize, yes, it is really dead. And also there is another reason for it. Sometimes body might look dead, but the person really is not dead, and they sometimes come back to life after a couple of hours or day or two. And it has happened before that they have buried someone under the ground, and then that person came back and find himself buried. Probably that's a very painful death, that you wake up and get out under 6 feet of dirt. And they have found out that they have scratching the place to get out, but of course they didn't make it and died. And that is, of course, is a very painful death. Therefore, the recommendation is a good recommendation. Bring closure to the people, and therefore you see the body is not moving, is dead. Little by little, after 3 days, you might be ready to let the body go. And also, it has a practical reason, so the person might not come back when he or she is already buried under 6 feet of dirt. It is a good idea. We might even go ahead and recommend, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's wait 3 days after the person is dead, and then after 3 days, you know, you might let that person go and being buried. And therefore, if he came back into body in that 3 days, you
had not buried that person and made him to die again in a very painful and desperate situation. Cremation, maybe it's also good to wait 3 days before do the same thing, cremate the body if that is what that those people or that person wants them to be done with their body. For it's a good recommendation. Let's wait for 3 days before we putting the body of the dead away. Okay, our hour is gone, and we hope that again you all go to our website, read our teachings, see it is from God. It is not a man-made religion. It's impossible for a man to bring so much truth to humanity and explain so clearly what God has been doing and why He has sent all this revelation to man. And therefore, again, understanding the deeper level, teach those that they are opposing us and they think it is man-made religion. Let them know they are attached to their religion. And unfortunately, if this continues, they will not be incarnated for a long time. So more and more of us will be on earth and less of those who will oppose us. Surely, we will bring the kingdom of God on earth. Be with God, have a godly week, and become a channel for God to manifest His truth. Salam, everybody.